It's good to see everybody today. We are in the study of the life of Jesus as is written by Luke, one of the earliest followers of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 is where we will be today. It's good to see everybody. I'm reminded that we have so many folks in our congregation who cannot be here, and it wasn't the time change, but just the stage of life. And so it's just great to see everybody that's out there, wherever you are watching today. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, a really memorable story. And so I want to just talk a little bit about this story and get going. I suppose, let's just read what it says. Luke 5, 12 says, he was in one of the cities, and there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, make me clean." Now, this may seem like a strange story to you and I today, because I don't feel like we walk down the street and see people with leprosy. And even the idea of, like, what is leprosy? So our first stop this morning is just a little bit of medical talk about what is leprosy. So even when I came to this passage, I was like, I'm not even sure what leprosy is. And so leprosy is, so a couple things, okay? There's a disease called Hansen's disease, and it's a bacterial infection, and it actually, it happens slowly over time, but Hansen's disease produces lesions and red spots and white spots where your skin gets like it stops feeling, it hits the nerves and all that. Hansen's disease is treatable. So leprosy, as leprosy, is not really a disease anymore. But here's the deal. Hansen's disease was only called leprosy in the 1800s. And so probably when we hear this story, there's a man full of leprosy, it's probably not what we call leprosy today. All right? Which brings me into the very uncomfortable topic of infectious skin conditions, everybody. Doesn't it feel like that's exactly what we should talk about today? Now, I'm going to just tell you, Google these at your own risk. I was like, I'm not putting anything on the board about what these look like or anything like that. But let me just say a little bit about this. So leprosy in the ancient world was not necessarily Hansen's disease. The word lepra, okay, leprosy, it probably extends, I'm just painting the scene for us. No, you're like, no, there's no like introduction or anything. We're just getting right into skin diseases. Okay, it's probably a cluster of skin conditions or skin diseases such as psoriasis, lupus, ringworm, or another condition called favus. So psoriasis, some of these are infectious. Some of them are the result of an autoimmune condition. Okay? So I suppose never before have we been aware of all of the medications available for skin conditions, are we not? All you have to do is turn on anything on TV and there's going to be some kind of Mounjaro, you know, or whatever, you know, like the shout out to all this infectious skin diseases, medications, and what's going on. But which tells me that there's still, these things are still going on today. So psoriasis, a chronic non-contagious autoimmune disease that causes rapid skin cell turnover, leading to thick, scaly, inflamed patches. Discolored, they may crack or bleed or itch. You're like, okay, this is what the sermon's going to be like today, okay? Lupus, also a chronic long-term autoimmune disease where the immune system mistakenly attacks the body's own tissues and organs, causing inflammation and pain. Non-contagious skin conditions. Those are autoimmune conditions. So same as like eczema, okay? I'm no show of hands or anything like that. We've had a couple of kids with eczema, but it's allergic reactions from what you ingest that comes out in your skin, right? These are not contagious. Now, there are other contagious skin conditions that we can talk about, like ringworm. Ringworm is not a worm, It's a highly contagious fungal skin infection. So it thrives in warm, moist areas, usually a ring. Favus is a chronic form. Anyway, it's on your scalp. Dermatitis, usually an allergic reaction to something. If you have environmental allergies, dermatitis, contact dermatitis, might be something that you have struggled with over your life. Now, I'm not going to have a show of hands, okay? Chronic skin conditions, our family has known them. We've actually just had a recent bout of some contact dermatitis, and I was like, why are we doing this? And I was like, because you're going to teach on leprosy, okay? So I'm not going to show pictures or anything like that, but I have been reminded over these, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, he loved, like, he does this, but I've actually been reminded of my own, like, hesitancy about skin diseases. Like, for example, when you go to Israel, which all of you should do at some point in your life, like not right now, the State Department says to stay home, but no laughs on that, okay? But if you go, you probably go to the Dead Sea, and one of the things about the Dead Sea as a place is known, like the water of the Dead Sea is oftentimes used for people with chronic skin conditions, and they go because of the salt content, the mineral content, and they go and they bathe in the Dead Sea, and it hopefully helps that. Okay. Now, I remember the first time I went, we were at the Dead Sea, and we're at this really nice resort. And this really nice resort has like a pool, a spa, a hot tub, and the Dead Sea's out there. And so we went down to the Dead Sea, and we're like, oh, we're going to get washed off and all this stuff. And I'm like, hey, who wants to go down to the jacuzzi? And one of our leaders, who I love, Rich, he's a wonderful friend, and I have to remind him, like, these are non-contagious skin conditions, like psoriasis, things like that. But he's like, are you going in that jacuzzi? Look around at all the people with skin conditions around here, and you're going in that jacuzzi? And I'm like, I have never ever been in that jacuzzi since then. I've been back 5 times, never been in that jacuzzi. Okay, all right. So I've had, and even like recently, we've had this like thing with one of our kids, and like basketball season's over, but there was this dermatitis and da 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 da, and we're like all freaked out about it. And we're going to urgent care and our primary care, and we're getting prescriptions. And so with all of that, I want to take us to a place of discomfort about skin conditions. Are you uncomfortable yet? Okay. So that we can read this passage. So that we can understand what's going on. There's no urgent care. There's no antibiotics. There's no steroid cream. There's no steroid track of medication that you can take. Whether you have psoriasis, this enduring long-term condition, or whether you have lupus, or whether you just have allergic reactions to olive oil, if that was you, you might have been in a spot like this. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. So Leviticus 13 gives us, so if you have any of these things in ancient Israel, Leviticus 13 gives regulations about what the priests are supposed to do with the diagnosis of a leprous skin disease. And this is what it says. This is Leviticus 13:45. We probably didn't cover this verse in the Navigator's topical, like, memory verse thing. It's probably not in Awana. You didn't get this one, but this is what it says. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose, shall cover his mouth, and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So outside the camp as they're traveling through the desert and wandering about, but outside the city. Now, I have not made any of my own children with eczema cry out unclean, unclean in our house, okay? Or any other people with infected things of other or whatever, okay? But when we read the encounter, let's read the encounter again with our discomfort about skin conditions and with our understanding of what Leviticus 13 has prescribed for this man and his existence. When he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." It says that the man, the ESV, there's a couple of, I want to do a couple of translation things. In the ESV, it says, it's a man full of leprosy. Now, when you translate leprosy, I like the NIV because it talks about there was a man with a skin condition. Because it's not just what we call, it's not just leprosy, Hansen's disease. This is a man with psoriasis, eczema, maybe ringworm, maybe a fungal thing. Favus, name it, dermatitis, chronic, and this is what he's covered with a skin disease. He's likely been living outside the town. He is disheveled. He's alone, and he sees Jesus. And what he says is, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean." And then it says, Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do want to be clean." And then the disease left him. And what we see, so a couple things, in order to understand this, okay, because in my Bible, the heading of this, it reads, "Jesus heals a leper." Does anybody have a different heading? How many people have "Jesus heals a leper"? Anybody have a different title? "Jesus cleanses a leper." Okay, so this is important, okay? And sometimes we might skip right over this, okay? So far in Luke, we have seen Jesus restore people. We've seen him, he comes into the synagogue in Nazareth, he reads Isaiah 61, and he says, "Hey, I've come to release people, to restore sight to the blind, but to offer liberty to the captives." And we talked about that idea of liberty as release. It's the word aphasis, which means to release. And aphasis means this idea of Jesus is going to proclaim and offer release or liberty to the captives and the oppressed. And aphasis can mean, it can mean release from sins. It has all these different facets to it. It can mean release from demonic oppression. We see that already in the book. Aphasis can mean release from disease, like the blind seeing again, or we saw with Peter's mother-in-law, the release of the fever. But aphasis can also imply the manifesto of Jesus, what he's come to do, it can also imply restoration to community and to God. And our passage today is not so much, aphasis is maybe this umbrella term, but underneath this you have restoration. You have healing, but here, what the man is asking for is not just healing. He actually doesn't ask for healing. What does he ask for? Cleansing. Now, the first time I read through the Gospels, it's just a lot of stories about Jesus doing miracles. And of those miracles, it's like there's healing. Healing, 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 healing. But here's what I want to say is, not every healing is the same. When you look at the verbs that come with Jesus, like with a demon, what does Jesus do with the demon? He sends out the demon. With the fever, what does he do? He rebukes the fever, and the fever leaves. Next week we're going to talk about that we have a paralytic, and what does he do? He actually forgives the sins of the paralytic, but it heals the paralytic. Here we have an interesting example of someone that is coming asking for a certain type of restoration. And it's not just the healing of the condition, but that's part of it. What it tells us is that Luke is trying to show us that when it comes to people being out of sorts in society, Being demonically oppressed is one thing. Having a fever and being sick is another thing. Being paralyzed is another thing. But having an infectious skin disease, or just a non-infectious skin disease, something there's something about that that makes you unclean. In the way that Peter's mother-in-law was not unclean with a fever, in the same way that there's a guy, he's got a demon, but he shows up at the synagogue, he's not unclean, he's not banned from the synagogue. Even the paralytic is not banned from being in a house. But this guy has a special case of uncleanness. And what we need to understand is that, so this is like deep dive on skin conditions, but we're also going to do a deep dive here on, briefly, on the idea of purity tradition, okay? I want us to understand some things that are going on here. I was telling Sarah, I was like, thank you so much, Sarah, for giving a good read, and it was because it's a short passage. And I'm like, if we go at that pace through the book of Luke, it's going to be a long time, right? But this one, I wanted to kind of zero in on this because it's a particular thing that Luke is going to say that Jesus is accomplishing in his world, in his religious world, in his social world. The idea of clean and unclean is different than healing a fever or healing paralysis. It's a different type of healing. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about this idea of purity tradition. Okay, so pure, or what we might call first century purity codes, and in your bulletin, I've given you, there's four terms I want to talk about, and they come in pairs, and I put it in your bulletin right here on the second line, and I want to just talk about these two different ideas, two different sets of terms, and how they're used in the world in which Jesus is living and operating, okay? On the one hand, what you have is you have the idea of things that are holy and things that are common. Okay, holy, when you're talking about what is holy, God is holy. Humans and creation are common. When we talk about what is holy, we're talking about things that the word holy literally means set apart. So like in the Lord's Prayer, you pray, hallowed be your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word there is holy. You're asking God, let your name be holy, set apart. In other words, we're not going to use it in a common sense, in a common way, or another word for common is profane. It's set apart. It's God's name. It ought to be set apart. Everything about God, God is transcendent. He's set apart. And so you have God, who is set apart, creating the common world. Now, with this, the holy and the common, there are areas of overlap. So like every once in a while, God will raise up a human being to be a holy person, like the Nazarite vow, like Samson. He was supposed to be set apart, and there were certain things he was supposed to be able to do. God will raise up a prophet or raise up a guy like Moses, and they will be someone who rises up and kind of overlaps into the realm of the holy. They're common. They come out of the common, but they are holy. Okay, you guys following me so far? Okay, all right. Priests are another example. So there are places also. The rest of the land is common, but when you get to Jerusalem, that's the holy city. And then when you get to the temple, that's the holy place. And then you have the courtyard of the Gentiles, but then you go to the holy place. Then you go inside to the most holy place. And it's this idea that overlapping from the common to the holy, you got to get the holy is holy, it's set apart, everything else is common, okay? That's the first distinction in purity law. The common is not allowed into the holy unless invited into the holy. Unless they make themselves clean or ritually able to go into the holy place. Now, God's holy. You guys got that? I feel like you do, okay? All right, and then common. Now I want to talk about common. In the common world, this is our second set of terms. The common world has divisions between what is clean and common and what is what we might call profane and unclean. The word common and profane are the same word. I thought common is a better word just because it's more neutral. Profane has a little bit of a bad, you know, like profanity. It's just common language, okay? So, but you have clean. Clean has an option to go to those that are holy so that they can mediate the relationship to God. But you got to be clean in order to get to the holy people like the priests who will broker your relationship with God. The unclean are not allowed access to, not only to the holy, they're not even allowed access to the common for fear that whatever is wrong with them, whatever is unclean about them, is going to rub off and be contagious among the rest of the common. So between the common, so you've got holy is here. Sometimes God raises up people from among the common and makes them holy, sets them apart. But you've got to be clean in order to do that. But if you're unclean, you have no shot, no access, you don't even have access. If you're a leper, you're unclean. If you have this infectious skin disease, you're unclean. You don't even have access to the common community, let alone to the holy ones, let alone going into the actual presence of God. So what we call this, we call this a purity map. This is what sociologists call a purity map. And in our culture, we have all kinds of these things. And here's the thing about purity maps. Purity maps, what makes something clean or unclean, is about, is it in its right place or not? Is it in its right place or not? And so this is what we read, in, like when you read Torah, you read the Old Testament, and there's all these like, this is a clean food, this is an unclean food. And like one of the reasons why some things are called unclean is because they mix things where they're supposed to be. Like for example, lobsters are unclean. And the reason why lobsters are unclean is not because they're not delicious, okay? The reason why lobsters are unclean is because they live underwater, but they walk on legs. It's out of place. Things that live underwater ought to have fins and swim. And so this idea that if there are things that are not where they're supposed to be or have some kind of mix in that, they are unclean. They're not clean foods. And so in a lot of ways, when we think about clean and unclean, it's about what sort of things belong in what sort of places at what sort of time. Now, you might be like, man, that's so whack. That's so unbiblical. I can't believe that they operate that. Like, our culture totally has that. Have you ever said, it's not the right time or place to do that? That's a mapped purity code in our culture. Like, if you ever said, hey, that kind of language has no place in politics, that's because that's a mapping of purity code onto society. Like, why don't no shoes, no shirt, no service? Okay? That we live, you cannot, as much as you want to, or you might be like, Jesus came to do away with purity. He didn't, all the way. He did remap them. But still, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Okay? Even this idea, like, you're like, why is pastor not dressed up in a suit? Like, okay, we've remapped that purity code, everybody, okay? You get the idea? Like, we all live in that kind of a world. It just so happened in the first century when Jesus is around, you have this very intense mapping of purity code, and it's not just about who can be where at what time, it's about who can have access to God, and even about who can have access to community. Who can be in God's favor and who is on the outs of not only the favor of God, but also the favor of their community. So let's read this again. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. This man is not holy. He's common, but he's not clean. He's unclean. And he's desperate. He's alone. There's no treatment. Even if there were treatment, how is he going to get to it? Unclean, unclean, into the pharmacy? There is no pharmacy. He probably needs some kind of hygiene and help with hygiene and all that stuff. He has no access to it. And what we're going to find is that, again, as much as we might think it's so out of place, we have our own code. It's just that Jesus redefines and reverses direction of the purity tradition. This is what we're going to find, and I want us to see, why does Luke give us these verses? What is he trying to say about what Jesus has come to do? And I just found that there's so much going on in these few verses that I want us to pay attention to what Jesus is doing and what Luke wants. Because this is not just in the Jewish world. You have really strict purity codes in the Greek world and the Roman world. Tons of those things. Like what slaves are allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. Who can go where at what time? Really strict. And the mapping out of what is clean and unclean is what Jesus is addressing here. Now, he says, Lord, if you want, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, which is probably just more than I would do. I barely did that with my own son. And said, I do want to be clean. And if you're Jewish and you're the first readers of Luke, you're left with a question. You might not say, I live inside this purity map, and I know Jesus touched that leper. And if I touch that leper, I would be unclean. If anybody touches that leper, they're unclean. Jesus touches that leper. Is he now unclean? And then you start thinking, well, the guy actually was healed, but is Jesus unclean? How could the leprosy was healed? And this is where we realize that Jesus is not simply, this is where I want us to go beyond the idea that I originally had when I was reading through the Gospels, when I first read through the Gospels, that Jesus is just a healer. He's not just a healer. Going around making people healthy. It's something larger than that. Jesus touches a man covered in leprosy, a skin disease, that would have made him unclean. But it's not the uncleanness of the leper that rubs off on Jesus. It's Jesus' cleanness that actually rubs off on the leper. Or you might even say, it's Jesus' holiness that has its way on the uncleanness of the leper. This is not just a healing story. This is a story about the year of the Lord's favor. Remember when Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, his manifesto? It's, you're going to proclaim good news to the poor. You're going to proclaim release to those in prison, sight to the blind. You're going to proclaim release to the captives. And you're going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is the year of Jubilee. It's the year where debts are forgiven, where land is ceded back to its original owners. It's about coming back. It's about favor coming from the Lord, the Holy Lord. It's about favor coming. See, here's the thing. In the purity map, in any culture, the holy is where either favor comes from on those who are clean, or it's where wrath comes on that which is out of place and unclean. And you have now Jesus saying, the year of the Lord's favor has come, not the year of the Lord's wrath has come. And so now you have someone who is unclean, cut off from the community. And this is the interesting thing. In the Old Testament, every once in a while, you'll see somebody like disobey and they'll be struck with leprosy and it'll like the Lord will break out on them. See that in the book of Numbers. You read the book of Numbers, it's like a journey through hell, everybody. Okay, the book of Numbers is about punishment, it's about wrath breaking out because you can't bring unclean things into the presence of a holy God. But Jesus has come to say, it is now the season of favor from the holy. The purity map, it's not that it needs to go away. It's that what you do externally is not what is going to profane you. What happens internally is what you need to watch out for. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. Don't do all these things externally and think you're going to be pure if you've got all of this crud going on inside. And so here's a man who has all this stuff externally, and Jesus is like, it's not about what is external, and so I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and God is going to heal this guy. It's a redefinition and a reversal of the purity map, the purity tradition. The year of the Lord's favor, or the year of the Lord's grace. The word favor and grace are the same word. It's no wonder that when the earliest followers of Jesus start to go out in the Gentile world, they start talking about grace, 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 because it's the Jubilee season. It's the Jubilee era. It's the year of the grace of God. And it's being made available to those that are previously outside the scope. And Jesus is going to remap that and say, we are open for business for the unclean. And not just to get the unclean in, we are open for business to restore the unclean. It's not like Jesus is like, hey, bring your leprosy and come on in. No, he says the goal is restoration, but the offer of restoration is there for the unclean. It's not God's wrath that breaks out on the leper. It's God's grace that breaks out on the leper. And I think what's interesting, look at 5:14, what becomes then a little bit weird, like why does Jesus want the guy to go show himself to the priests? Because he wants the priests to know the favor of the Lord is being poured out. It is the year of the Lord's favor. Look at 5:14. Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone. Instead, go show yourself to the priest, that would be in Jerusalem, and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses instructed. This will be a testimony to them. So according to the Torah, the regulations in Leviticus 13 and 14, this man, how would he be restored to his community? He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to make an offering. It's this interesting procedure where you get two birds, you kill one of them, offer it as a sacrifice, and then you dip the other one in the blood of the bird, and then you let it free. I'm sure there's some interesting symbolism that goes in there, dipped into blood and then set free. And then you offer either two lambs, or if you're poor, you can offer a lamb and another bird as an offering. So the two birds, in between that time, you shave all of your hair, including all of your facial hair. So this guy was going to go full. I know, you're like, that's what this guy was going to go do. And then you make the final offering, and then you can go back to your community because you have the stamp of priestly approval to go back. You are officially clean. Jesus cleansed him, but Jesus is like, in order for this to be good, you're going to need the stamp of approval. I don't think Jesus is saying you need the priestly stamp of approval, but in order for your community, in order for this guy's community to not look at him like weird, they needed to know that the priests said this guy was pure. So part of that is about making sure that this guy gets incorporated back into his community. The guy could have just gone back, but then he would have been looked at like, oh, are you really healed? But no, the priests, they sign off on this whole thing. So go do that. But when you think about this, what would start happening if you were a priest in Jerusalem and you start to get this kind of steady flow of people who are like, I used to be a leper, but this guy cleansed me. Can I go through this? And you're like two birds and the lamb and the bird or whatever. And you just, and all of a sudden there's like a run on the sacrifice. There's a run on birds. People are coming. They've been healed. They've been healed. They've been healed. If you're a priest, what do you start to realize? Well, you start to realize, see, one of the things, priests could not cleanse. They could ratify the cleansing, but they could not do the work of cleansing. The sacrifices did not do the work of cleansing. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the way it would work, the only we have prophets that do the healing, like Elisha. He heals Naaman, and then he's got to go and show himself to the priests. The priests sign off on the cleansing. It's the prophets who do the healing. And if you start to get a steady stream of lepers who are like, I had the skin disease, and I came across this guy, and he cleansed me of it, and he told me to come here and to tell you. If this is your job, and you're like, we're just getting the steady stream, it doesn't take AI to start to realize patterns, right? The steady stream of lepers who are like, I'm clean now, I'm clean. It's a testimony to them. There's a prophet in the land. The year of the Lord's favor has come. And he's like, I don't want to tell everybody yet. I need to tell them first. I need to give them a chance to hear this. I need them to get on board with this. And what we realize is that eventually maybe some people do, but most don't up in the power center among the elites. But Jesus is saying they need to know that there's a prophet in the land. And the way they're going to know is they're going to get a steady stream of people who used to be unclean and now they've been made clean. And you're going to have to ratify this and send them back. And you're going to be part of this. You actually get to be part of restoring them to community. And so Jesus is going to redefine the purity tradition. Eventually, what we're going to see, it's not the temple where the lepers are cleansed. It's in the presence of Jesus. Yeah, the temple is where you go to get ratified, but the cleansing comes from Jesus. We're going to see next week, it's not the temple where you get forgiveness. It's in the presence of Jesus. Eventually in the Gospel of John, Jesus is going to encounter the woman at the well, and he's like, and they're going to get in this conversation about where should we worship, and Jesus is like, hey, a time's coming, you're not going to worship here or there. It's not about here or there in these holy places. True worshipers are going to worship in word and in truth, in spirit. So he's going to redefine this idea of what is holy space. Eventually, the Apostle Paul is going to say, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives within you? That's a total redefining of the purity map. That's a complete redefinition of where God lives and how you encounter God. That is the fruit of what Jesus has come to do. Because those who were far off at one point have now been brought near because of the work of Jesus. This is just 6 verses in the Gospel of Luke, but this is a total restructuring of who gets to come to God. And Jesus is like, don't forget to put that one in, Luke. This is one of the most important. This is not just a healing. This is about a restructuring of what it means to be able to enter into the presence of God. I think the other thing, so it's a restructuring of the purity tradition. And I think the other thing is that holiness is not going to stop at the boundaries of Israel. Eventually you're going to see it's the Gentiles as well, right? So it's redefining who gets to come in. And then the other thing is, you know what the word saint is when you're a saint? The word saint means a holy one. It's not just the priests. Everyone who has faith in Jesus becomes a holy one. You get it's a total look. I'm pretty psyched out about this stuff. This is pretty cool. Like it's a total restructuring of the whole map. I love maps. That map is an awesome map. Okay. The other thing he does, which again, don't sleep on, he reverses the direction of holiness. Before anything that was unclean comes into contact with anything clean or holy, it defiles those things. Jesus is going to say, we're not doing that anymore. In the year of the Lord's favor, it reverses. God, the holy, is going to be aggressive with compassion and mercy. Not with wrath. With compassion, the holy, hear this, the holy is going to now be aggressive with compassion and mercy, reaching out his hand to touch. It is the year of the Lord's favor. When we think about, like, how can I, in this story, like, what's the application? What, and there's tons of things to think about, but I think one thing, I'll quote, this is from David da Silva. He writes this: the period after Jesus' ministry was no longer a time for protecting one's purity and avoiding contact with defiling persons. Rather, it was a time for pursuing an open strategy of entering into unclean places to proclaim God's cleansing. Let me say that again. The period after Jesus' ministry was no longer a time for protecting one's purity by avoiding contact with defiled persons. Rather, it was a time for pursuing an open strategy of entering into unclean places to proclaim God's cleansing. That's just about thinking about your posture in the world. When I look around, and again, I've been guilty of it too, skin diseases and all. Do I look at stuff and people and places and like, yeah, I'm not having anything to do with that person. Not anything to do with that. And I get it. There are things where you're like, hey, I know my boundaries. I know things that I ought not do. Okay? At the same time, there is a sense in which God is now being aggressive with restoration of those who want to be restored. And with all of that, there is the idea of open strategy to find, open strategy to find how can we reach those who have been outside the realm of God's reach, those places that have been outside the realm of God's reach. God is now in the business of strategizing about how to get to those places and how to receive people and restore people in those places. In this economy of the kingdom, it is not caution and protection from the unclean. It is aggressive mercy and compassion for the sake of restoration. Okay, if there's anything, it's not cut and dry. There's a lot of nuance to this, and I get it. But I want us as a church, when you look at something, whether it's on the news or whatever it is, it makes you angry, it makes you recoil. There's all kinds of things. Like, there's all, probably in your family, like, there's one person who deals with throw up and the other person doesn't deal with throw up, right? There's one person who deals with dirty diapers. Maybe everybody deals with dirty diapers, but there's one, like, if it's gross, you got a person, right, in your family who can do that. Is everybody with me? Maybe you're both on the gross, or maybe you just, like, put something over it and you don't look at it, right? Okay, I get it. At the same time, in seriousness, finding a posture in the world where we're not writing things off, writing people off, where we realize I'm a follower of Jesus, and what that means is that I got time to have a conversation. You think about what Jesus does. This guy comes, totally breaks protocol. He's not supposed to come up to anybody, but he's like, okay, I'll listen to you. And not only, I love the interaction, he's like, Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus is like, I want to. And he reaches out, like God reaches out, and he touches him. And this guy, who knows the last time this guy was touched? with any warmth of physical human contact. Jesus is like, yeah, let's do this. I want to. I love that Jesus says, I want to. The next time we encounter someone or something that we're like, I don't want anything to do with that, I think this idea that Jesus is like, yeah, I want to. Like to have a sense that, yeah, if Jesus were here, I'll follow him, I'll go, I'll follow him to that. I can do that. I might not, I don't know, like it's the power of the Holy Spirit to heal, but I know that the goal is restoration. We don't just say like, oh, just come. There's a little bit of come as you are, but it's come as you are to be restored. For restoration. Touching, it turns out to be an important part of Jesus' healing ministry. Earlier when he was healing all the people at sunset, he laid hands on everybody. I don't know what it is, but Jesus, he's a toucher. He's, you know, this idea of physical contact and blessing seems to be important to him. And so I just think, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, but as we finish out with this response song, also the prayer team, just to think like, where maybe is a place where God is calling you to see with new eyes? I used to think that was unclean, untouchable, unreachable, but maybe Jesus is saying, hey, I want to go there. I want to restore. Will you follow me? His original call to you, follow me. Now he's like, hey, will you follow me here? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this morning. We're challenged this morning. You are amazing. It is the year of your favor, the season of your favor, this era that we're in of grace. And we want to get on board with that. We want to be aware of even just our own purity maps and what we're allowed and not allowed to do. And we want to give grace to others who might cross over our purity map and maybe do things that we don't think are particularly helpful or correct or whatever they are. But we ask, Father, for your compassion, your mercy to aggressively come towards those who need restoration. We do pray also just even for those who need restoration, that you would build in them a humble heart like this leper who is just coming asking for it. We do pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts and in the hearts of others to enable this process. We love you. We thank you for your aggressive compassion and mercy towards us. Without that, we would not be here. It is your kindness that has led us to repentance. Thank you. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.